come upon him. If the patrol was discovered with Drizzt all alone in front, was there some way Massage could secretly blast the young Doerden? The opportunity, if ever it was truly there, passed quickly, though, as other drow soldiers came up beside the plotting wizard. Deenan soon returned from the back of the line and headed back to join his brother.
"The chamber has many exits," Deenan signaled to Drizzt when they were together. "The other patrols are moving into position around the gnomes."
"Might we parley with the gnomes?" Drizzt Hans asked in reply, almost subconsciously. He recognized the expression spreading across Deenan's face, but knew that he had already plunged in. "Send them away without conflict?" Deenan grabbed Drizzt by the front of his bawafwi and pulled him close, too close, to that terrible scowl.
"I will forget that you asked that question," he whispered,
and he dropped Drizzt back to the stone, considering the issue closed.
"You start the fight," Deenan signaled. "When you see the sign from behind, darken the corridor and rush past the guards. Get to the gnome leader. He is the key to their strength with the stone."
Drizzt didn't fully understand what gnomish power his brother hinted at, but the instruction seemed simple enough, if somewhat suicidal.
"Take the cat if the cat will go," Deenan continued. "The entire patrol will be by your side in moments. The remaining groups will come in from the other passages."
Guinevar nuzzled up to Drizzt, more than ready to follow him into battle. Drizzt took comfort in that when Deenan departed, leaving him alone again at the front. Only a few seconds later came the command to attack. Drizzt shook his head in disbelief when he saw the signal. How fast drow warriors found their positions! He peeked around at the gnomish guards, still holding their silent vigil, completely unaware. Drizzt drew his blades and patted Guinevar for luck, then called upon the innate magic of his race and dropped a globe of darkness in the corridor. Squeals of alarm sounded throughout the tunnels, and Drizzt charged in, diving right into the darkness between the unseen guards and rolling back to his feet on the other side of his spell, only two running strides from the small chamber. He saw a dozen gnomes scrambling about, trying to prepare their defenses. Few of them paid Drizzt any attention, though, as the sounds of battle erupted from various side corridors. One gnome chopped a heavy pick at Drizzt's shoulder. Drizzt got a blade up to block the blow, but was amazed at the strength in the diminutive gnome's arms. Still, Drizzt could then have killed his attacker with the other scimitar. Too many doubts and too many memories, though, haunted his actions. He brought a leg up into the gnome's belly, sending the little creature sprawling. Belwar Disengulp, next in line for Drizzt, noted how easily the young drow had dispatched one of his finest fighters, and knew that the time had already come to use his most powerful magic. He pulled the emerald summoning stone from his neck and threw it to the ground at Drizzt's feet. Drizzt jumped back, sensing the emanations of magic. Behind him, Drizzt heard the approach of his companions, overpowering the shocked gnome guards and rushing to join him in the chamber. Then Drizzt's attentions went squarely to the heat patterns of the stone floor in front of him. The grayish lines wavered and swam, as if the stone was somehow coming alive. The other drow fighters roared in past Drizzt, bearing down on the gnome leader and his charges. Drizzt didn't follow, guessing that the event unfolding at his feet was more critical than the general battle now echoing throughout the complex. 15 feet tall and 7 wide, an angry, towering humanoid monster of living stone rose before Drizzt.
"Elemental!" came a scream to the side.
Drizzt glanced over to see Massage Guinevar at his side, fumbling through a spellbook, apparently in search of some Dwyamer to battle this unexpected monster. To Drizzt's dismay, the frightened wizard mumbled a couple of words and vanished. Drizzt set his feet under him and took a measure of the monster, ready to spring aside in an instant. He could sense the thing's power, the raw strength of the earth embodied in living arms and legs. A lumbering arm swung out in a wide arc, whooshing above Drizzt's ducking head and slamming into the cavern wall, crushing rocks into dust.
"Do not let it hit me,"
Drizzt instructed himself in a whisper that came out as a disbelieving gasp. As the elemental recoiled its arm, Drizzt poked a scimitar at it, chipping away a small chunk, barely a scratch. The elemental grimaced in pain. Apparently, Drizzt could indeed hurt it with his enchanted weapons. Still standing in the same spot off to the side, the invisible Massage held his next spell in check, watching the spectacle and waiting for the combatants to weaken each other. Perhaps the elemental would destroy Drizzt altogether.
Invisible Shoulders gave a resigned shrug. Massage decided to let the gnomish power do his dirty work for him. The monster launched another blow and another, and Drizzt dived forward and scrambled through the thing's stone pillar legs. The elemental reacted quickly and stomped heavily with one foot, barely missing the agile drow, and sending branching cracks in the floor for many feet in either direction. Drizzt was up in a flash, slicing and thrusting with both his blades into the elemental's backside, then springing back out of reach as the monster swung about, leading with another ferocious blow. The sounds of battle grew more distant. The gnomes had taken flight, those that were still alive, but the drow warriors were in full pursuit, leaving Drizzt to face the elemental. The monster stomped again, the thunder of its foot nearly knocking Drizzt from his feet, and it came in hard, falling down at Drizzt, using the tonnage of its body as a weapon. If Drizzt had been even slightly surprised, or if his reflexes had not been honed to such perfection, he surely would have been crushed flat. He managed to get to the side of the monster's bulk while taking only a glancing blow from a swinging arm. Dust rushed up from the terrific impact. Cavern walls and ceiling cracked and dropped flecks and stones to the floor. As the elemental regained its feet, Drizzt backed away, overwhelmed by such unconquerable strength. He was all alone against it, or so Drizzt thought. A sudden ball of hot fury enveloped the elemental's head, claws raking deep scratches into its face. Guinevere! Drizzt and Massage shouted in unison, Drizzt in elation that an ally had been found, and Massage in rage. The wizard did not want Drizzt to survive this battle, and he dared not launch any magical attacks at Drizzt or the elemental with his precious Guinevere in the way. "Do something, wizard!" Drizzt cried, recognizing the shout and understanding now that Massage was still around. The elemental bellowed in pain, its cry sounding as the rumble of huge boulders crashing down a rocky mountain. Even as Drizzt moved back in to help his feline friend, the monster spun, impossibly quick, and dived headfirst to the floor. "No!" Drizzt cried, realizing that Guinevere would be crushed. Then the cat and the elemental, instead of slamming against the stone, sank down into it. The purple flames of fairy fire outlined the figures of the gnomes, showing the way for drow arrows and swords. The gnomes countered with magic of their own, illusionists' tricks mostly. "Down here," one drow soldier cried, only to slam face first into the stone of a wall that had appeared as the entrance to a corridor. Even though the gnome magic managed to keep the dark elves somewhat confused, Belwar Dizengulp grew frightened. His elemental, his strongest magic and only hope, was taking too long with a single drow warrior far back in the main chamber. The Burrow Warden wanted the monster by his side when the main combat began. He ordered his forces into tight defensive formations, hoping that they could hold out. Then the drow warriors, detained no more by gnomish tricks, were upon them, and fury stole Belwar's fear. He lashed out with his heavy pickaxe, smiling grimly as he felt the mighty weapon bite into drow flesh. All magic was aside now, all formations and carefully laid battle plans dissolved into the wild frenzy of the brawl. Nothing mattered except to hit the enemy, to feel the pick head or blade sinking into flesh. Above all others, deep gnomes hated the drow, and in all the Underdark there was nothing a dark elf enjoyed more than slicing a Zwerf Nebli into littler pieces. Drizzt rushed to the spot, but only the unbroken section of floor remained. "Massage!" he gasped, looking for some answers from the one schooled in such strange magic. Before the wizard could answer, the floor erupted behind Drizzt. He spun, weapons ready to face the towering elemental. Then Drizzt watched in helpless agony as the broken mist that was the great panther, his dearest companion, rolled off the elemental's shoulders and broke apart as it neared the floor. Drizzt ducked another blow, though his eyes never left the dissipating dust and mist cloud. Was Guinevere no more? Was his only friend gone from him forever? A new light grew in Drizzt's lavender eyes, a primal rage that simmered throughout his body. He looked back to the elemental, unafraid. "You are dead," he promised, and he walked in. The elemental seemed confused, though of course it could not understand Drizzt's words. It dropped a heavy arm straight down to squash its foolish opponent. Drizzt did not even raise his blades to parry, knowing that every ounce of his strength could not possibly deflect such a blow. Just as the falling arm was about to reach him, he dashed forward within its range. The quickness of his move surprised the elemental, and the ensuing flurry of swordplay took Massage's breath away. The wizard had never seen such grace in battle, such fluidity of motion. Drizzt climbed up and down the elemental's body, hacking and slashing, digging the points of his weapons home and flicking off pieces of the monster's stone skin. The elemental howled its avalanche howl and spun in circles, trying to catch up to Drizzt and squash him once and for all. Blind anger brought new levels of expertise to the magnificent young swordsman, though, and the elemental caught nothing but air or its own stony body under its heavy slaps. "Impossible," Massage muttered when he found his breath. Could the young Doerden actually defeat an elemental? Massage scanned the rest of the area. Several drow and many gnomes lay dead or grievously wounded, but the main fighting was moving even farther away as the gnomes found their tiny escape tunnels, and the drow, enraged beyond good sense, followed them. Guinevar was gone. In this chamber, only Massage, the elemental, and Drizzt remained as witnesses. The invisible wizard felt his mouth draw up in a smile. Now was the time to strike. Drizzt had the elemental lurching to one side, nearly beaten, when the bolt roared in, a blast of lightning that blinded the young drow and sent him flying into the chamber's back wall. Drizzt watched the twitch of his hands, the wild dance of his stark white hair before his unmoving eyes. He felt nothing, no pain, no reviving draw of air into his lungs, and heard nothing, as if his life force had been somehow suspended. The attack dispelled Massage's Dwyamra of invisibility, and he came back in view, laughing wickedly. The elemental, down in a broken, crumbled mass, slowly slipped back into the security of the stone floor. "Are you dead?" the wizard asked Drizzt, the voice breaking the hush of Drizzt's deafness in dramatic booms. Drizzt could not answer, didn't really know the answer anyway. "Too easy," he heard Massage say, and he suspected that the wizard was referring to him and not the elemental. Then Drizzt felt a tingling in his fingers and bones, and his lungs heaved suddenly, grabbing a volume of air. He gasped in rapid succession, then found control of his body and realized that he would survive. Massage glanced around for returning witnesses and saw none. "Good," he muttered as he watched Drizzt regain his senses. The wizard was truly glad that Drizzt's death had not been so very painless. He thought of another spell that would make the moment more fun. A hand, a gigantic stone hand, reached out of the floor just then and grasped Massage's legs, pulling his feet right into the stone. The wizard's face twisted in a silent scream. Drizzt's enemy saved his life. Drizzt snatched up one of the scimitars from the ground and hacked at the elemental's arm. The weapon sliced in, and the monster, its head reappearing between Drizzt and Massage, howled in rage and pain and pulled the trapped wizard deeper into the stone. With both hands on the scimitar's hilt, Drizzt struck as hard as he could, splitting the elemental's head right in half. This time the rubble did not sink back into its earthen plane. This time the elemental was destroyed. "Get me out of here," Massage demanded. Drizzt looked at him, hardly believing that Massage was still alive, for he was waist-deep in solid stone. "How?" Drizzt gasped. "You..." He couldn't even find the words to express his amazement. "Just get me out," the wizard cried. Drizzt fumbled about, not knowing where to begin. "Elementals travel between planes," Massage explained, knowing that he had to calm Drizzt down if he ever wanted to get out of the floor. Massage knew, too, that the conversation could go a long way in deflecting Drizzt's obvious suspicions that the lightning bolt had been aimed at him. "The ground an earth elemental traverses becomes a gate between the plane of earth and our plane, the material plane. The stone parted around me as the monster pulled me in, but it is quite uncomfortable." He twitched in pain as the stone tightened around one foot. "The gate is closing fast." "Then Guinevar might be..." Drizzt started to reason. He plucked the statuette right out of Massage's front pocket and carefully inspected it for any flaws in its perfect design. "Give me that!" Massage demanded, embarrassed and angry. Reluctantly, Drizzt handed the figurine over. Massage glanced at it quickly and dropped it back into the pocket. "Is Guinevar unharmed?" Drizzt had to ask. "It is not your concern," Massage snapped back. The wizard, too, was worried about the cat, but at this moment, Guinevar was the least of his troubles. "The gate is closing," he said again. "Go get the clerics." Before Drizzt could start off, a slab of stone in the wall behind him slid away, and the rock-hard fist of Belwar Disengulp slammed into the back of his head.
23. A single clean blow.
"The gnomes took him,"
Massaj said to Deenan when the patrol leader returned to the cavern. The wizard lifted his arms over his head to give the High Priestess and her assistants a better view of his predicament.
"Where?" Deenan demanded. "Why did they let you live?"
Massaj shrugged.
"A secret door," he explained. "Somewhere on the wall behind you. I suspect that they would have taken me as well, except..."
Massaj looked down at the floor, still holding him tightly up to the waist.
"The gnomes would have killed me but for your arrival."
"You are fortunate, wizard," the High Priestess said to Massaj. "I have memorized a spell this day that will release the stone's hold on you."
She whispered some instructions to her assistants, and they took out water skins and pouches of clay and began tracing a 10-foot square on the floor around the trapped wizard. The High Priestess moved over to the wall of the chamber and prepared for her prayers.
"Some have escaped," Deenan said to her.
The High Priestess understood. She whispered a quick detection spell and studied the wall.
"Right there," she said.
Deenan and another male rushed over to the spot and soon found the almost imperceptible outline to the secret door. As the High Priestess began her incantation, one of her cleric assistants threw the end of a rope to Massaj.
"Hold on," the assistant teased, "and hold your breath."
"Wait,"
Massaj began. But the stone floor all around him transformed into mud, and the wizard slipped under. Two clerics, laughing, pulled Massaj out a moment later.
"Nice spell," the wizard remarked, spitting mud.
"It has its purposes," replied the High Priestess, "especially when we fight against the gnomes and their tricks with the stone. I carried it as a safeguard against earth elementals."
She looked at a piece of rubble at her feet, unmistakably one eye and the nose of such a creature.
"I see that my spell was not needed in that manner."
"I destroy that one," Massaj lied.
"Indeed," said the High Priestess, unconvinced.
She could tell by the cut of the rubble that a blade had made the wound. She let the issue drop when the scrape of sliding stone turned them all to the wall.
"Amaze," moaned the fighter beside Deenan when he peered into the tunnel. "How will we find them?"
Deenan thought for a moment, then spun on Massaj.
"They have my brother," he said, an idea coming to mind. "Where is your cat?"
"About,"
Massaj stalled, guessing Deenan's plan and not really wanting Drizzt rescued.
"Bring it to me," Deenan ordered. "The cat can smell Drizzt."
"I cannot, I mean—"
Massaj stuttered.
"No, wizard," Deenan commanded. "Unless you wish me to tell the ruling council that some of the gnomes escaped because you refused to help."
Massaj tossed the figurine to the ground and called for Gwenivar, not really knowing what would happen next. Had the earth elemental really destroyed Gwenivar? The mist appeared, in seconds transforming into the panther's corporeal body.
"Well,"
Deenan prompted, indicating the tunnel.
"Go find Drizzt,"
Massaj commanded the cat. Gwenivar sniffed around the area for a moment, then bounded off down the small tunnel, the drow patrol in silent pursuit.
"Where?"
Drizzt started, when he finally began the long climb from the depths of unconsciousness. He understood that he was sitting, and knew, too, that his hands were bound in front of him. A small but undeniably strong hand caught him by the back of the hair and pulled his head back roughly.
"Quiet,"
Belwar whispered harshly. And Drizzt was surprised that the creature could speak his language. Belwar let go of Drizzt and turned to join others Rivnebli. From the chamber's low height and the gnome's nervous movements, Drizzt realized that this group had taken flight. The gnomes began a quiet conversation in their own tongue, which Drizzt could not begin to understand. One of them asked the gnome who had ordered Drizzt to be quiet, apparently the leader, a heated question. Another grunted his accord and spoke some harsh words, turning on Drizzt with a dangerous look in his eyes. The leader slapped the other gnome hard on the back and sent him off through one of the two low exits in the chamber, then put the others into defensive positions. He walked over to Drizzt.
"You come with us to Blingdenstone,"
he said in hesitant words.
"Then?"
Drizzt asked. Belwar shrugged.
"The king'll decide. If you cause me no trouble, I'll tell him to let you go.
Drizzt laughed cynically.
Well then, said Belwar, if the king says to kill you, I'll make sure it comes in a single clean blow.
Again Drizzt laughed.
Do you believe that I believe? He asked. Torture me now and have your fun. That is your evil way.
Belwar started to slap him, but held his hand in check.
Zwerfnebli, don't torture, he declared, louder than he should have. Drow elves torture.
He turned away but spun back, reiterating his promise.
A single clean blow.
Drizzt found that he believed the sincerity in the gnome's voice, and he had to accept that promise as a measure of mercy far greater than the gnome would have received if Dinan's patrol had captured him. Belwar turned to walk away, but Drizzt, intrigued, had to learn more of the curious creature. How have you learned my language? He asked.
Gnomes are not stupid,
Belwar retorted, unsure of what Drizzt was leading to.
Nor are drow, Drizzt replied earnestly. But I have never heard the language of the Zwerfnebli spoken in my city.
There once was a drow in Blingdenstone,
Belwar explained. Now nearly as curious about Drizzt as Drizzt was about him.
Slave, Drizzt reasoned.
Guest,
Belwar snapped.
Zwerfnebli keep no slaves.
Again, Drizzt found that he could not refute the sincerity in Belwar's voice. What is your name? He asked. The gnome laughed at him.
Do you think me stupid?
Belwar asked.
You desire my name that you might use its power in some dark magic against me.
No, Drizzt protested.
I should kill you now for thinking me stupid,
Belwar growled, ominously lifting his heavy pick. Drizzt shifted uncomfortably, not knowing what the gnome would do next.
My offer remains,
Belwar said, lowering the pick.
No trouble, and I tell the king to let you go.
Belwar didn't believe that would happen any more than did Drizzt, so the Zwerfneblin, with a helpless shrug, offered Drizzt the next best thing.
Or else, a single clean blow.
A commotion from one of the tunnels turned Belwar away.
Belwar!
Called one of the other gnomes, rushing back into the small chamber. The gnome leader turned a wary eye on Drizzt to see if the drow had caught the mention of his name. Drizzt wisely kept his head turned away, pretending not to listen. He had indeed heard the name of the gnome leader who had shown him mercy. Belwar, the other Zwerfneblin had said. Belwar, a name that Drizzt would never forget. Fighting from down the passageway caught everyone's attention then, and several Zwerfnebli scrambled back into the chamber. Drizzt knew from their excitement that the drow patrol was close behind. Belwar started barking out commands, mostly organizing the retreat down the chamber's other tunnel. Drizzt wondered where he would fit into the gnome's thinking. Certainly, Belwar couldn't hope to outrun the drow patrol dragging along a prisoner. Then the gnome leader suddenly stopped talking and stopped moving. Too suddenly. The drow clerics had led the way in with their insidious, paralyzing spells. Belwar and another gnome were held fast by the Dwyamer, and the rest of the gnomes, realizing this, broke into a wild scramble for the rear exit. The drow warriors, Guinevar leading the way, charged into the room. Any relief Drizzt might have felt at seeing his feline friend unharmed was buried under the ensuing slaughter. Dinan and his troops cut into the disorganized gnomes with typical drow savagery. In seconds, horrible seconds that seemed like hours to Drizzt, only Belwar and the other gnome caught in the clerical spell remained alive in the chamber. Several of the Zwerfnebli had managed to flee down the back corridor, but most of the drow patrol was off in pursuit. Massage came into the chamber last, looking thoroughly wretched in his mud-covered clothing. He remained at the tunnel exit and did not even look Drizzt's way, except to note that his panther was standing protectively beside the second boy of House Doerden.
Again you have found your measure of luck, and more, Dinan said to Drizzt as he cut his brother's bonds.
Looking around at the carnage in the chamber, Drizzt wasn't so sure. Dinan handed him back his scimitars, then turned to the drow standing watch over the two paralyzed gnomes.
Finish them,
Dinan instructed. A wide smile spread over the other drow's face, and he pulled a jagged knife from his belt.
He held it up in front of a gnome's face, teasing the helpless creature.
"Can they see it?" he asked the High Priestess.
"That is the fun of the spell," the High Priestess replied. "The Zwerfneblin understands what is about to happen. Even now he is struggling to break out of the hold."
"Prisoners!" Drizzt blurted.
Deenan and the others turned to him, the drow with a dagger, wearing a scowl both angry and disappointed.
"For House Dowerden?" Drizzt asked Deenan hopefully. "We could benefit from—"
"Zwerfnebli do not make good slaves," Deenan replied.
"No," agreed the High Priestess, moving beside the dagger-wielding fighter. She nodded to the warrior, and his smile returned tenfold. He struck hard. Only Belwar remained.
The warrior waved his blood-stained dagger ominously and moved in front of the gnome leader.
"Not that one," Drizzt protested, unable to bear any more. "Let him live."
Drizzt wanted to say that Belwar could do them no harm, and that killing the defenseless gnome would be a cowardly and vile act. Drizzt knew that appealing to his kin for mercy would be a waste of time. Deenan's expression was more a look of anger than curiosity this time.
"If you kill him, then no gnomes will remain to return to their city and tell of our strength," Drizzt reasoned, grasping at the one slim hope he could find. "We should send him back to his people, send him back to tell them of their folly in entering the domain of the drow."
Deenan looked back to the High Priestess for advice.
"It seems proper reasoning," she said with a nod.
Deenan was not so certain of his brother's motives. Not taking his eyes off Drizzt, he said to the warrior,
"Then cut off the gnome's hands."
Drizzt didn't flinch, realizing that if he did, Deenan would surely slaughter Belwar. The warrior replaced the dagger on his belt and took out his heavy sword.
"Wait,"
said Deenan, still eyeing Drizzt.
"Release him from the spell first. I want to hear his screams."
Several drow moved over to put the tips of their swords at Belwar's neck as the High Priestess released her magical hold. Belwar made no moves. The appointed drow warrior grasped his sword in both hands, and Belwar, brave Belwar, held his arms straight out and motionless in front of him. Drizzt averted his gaze, unable to watch and awaiting, fearing the gnome's cry. Belwar noted Drizzt's reaction. Was it compassion? The drow warrior then swung his sword. Belwar never took his stare off Drizzt as the sword cut across his wrists, lighting a million fires of agony in his arms. Neither did Belwar scream. He wouldn't give Deenan the satisfaction. The gnome leader looked back to Drizzt one final time as two drow fighters ushered him out of the chamber, and he recognized the true anguish and the apology behind the young drow's feigned, impassive facade. Even as Belwar was leaving, the dark elves who had chased off after the fleeing gnomes returned from the other tunnel.
"We could not catch them in these tiny passageways," one of them complained.
"Damn," Deenan growled.
Sending a handless gnome victim back to Blingdenstone was one thing, but letting healthy members of the gnome expedition escape was quite another.
"I want them caught."
"Guinevar can catch them,"
Massage proclaimed, then he called the cat to his side and eyed Drizzt all the while. Drizzt's heart raced as the wizard patted the great cat.
"Come, my pet," Massage said. "There is hunting left to be done."
The wizard watched Drizzt squirm at the words, knowing that Drizzt did not approve of Guinevar engaging in such tactics.
"They are gone?"
Drizzt asked Deenan, his voice on the edge of desperation.
"Running all the way back to Blingdenstone," Deenan replied calmly, "if we let them. And will they return?"
Deenan's sour scowl reflected the absurdity of his brother's question.
"Would you?"
"Our task is complete, then,"
Drizzt reasoned, trying vainly to find some way out of Massage's ignoble designs for the panther.
"We have won the day," Deenan agreed, "though our own losses have been great. We may find still more fun with the help of the wizard's pet."
"Fun?" Massage echoed pointedly at Drizzt. "Be gone, Guinevar, into the tunnels. Let us learn how fast a frightened gnome may run."
Only a few minutes later, Guinevar came back into the chamber, dragging a dead gnome in its mouth.
"Return," Massage commanded as Guinevar dropped the body at his feet. "Bring me more."
Drizzt's heart dropped at the sound of the corpse flopping to the stone floor.
He looked into Guinevar's eyes and saw a sadness as profound as his own. The panther was a hunter, as honorable in its own way as was Drizzt. To the evil Message, though, Guinevar was a toy and nothing more, an instrument for his perverted pleasures, killing for no reason other than his master's joy of killing. In the hands of the wizard, Guinevar was no more than a murderer. Guinevar paused at the entrance to the small tunnel and looked to Drizzt almost apologetically. "Return!" Message screamed, and he kicked the cat in the rear. Then Message too turned an eye back on Drizzt, a vindictive eye. Message had missed his chance to kill the young Dewerton. He would have to be careful how he explained such a mistake to his unforgiving mother. Message decided to worry about that unpleasant encounter later. For now, at least, he had the satisfaction of watching Drizzt suffer. Deenan and the others were oblivious to the unfolding drama between Message and Drizzt, too engaged in their wait for Guinevar's return, too engaged in their speculations of the expressions of terror the gnomes would cast back at such a perfect killer, too caught up in the macabre humor of the moment, that perverted drow humor that brought laughter when tears were needed. Part 5. Zacnaphane. Zacnaphane Dewerton, mentor, teacher, friend. I, in the blind agony of my own frustrations, more than once came to recognize Zacnaphane as none of these. Did I ask of him more than he could give? Did I expect perfection of a tormented soul? Hold Zacnaphane up to standards beyond his experiences, or standards impossible in the face of his experiences? I might have been him. I might have lived, trapped within the helpless rage, buried under the daily assault of the wickedness that is Menzo Berenzon, and the pervading evil that is my own family, never in life to find escape. It seems a logical assumption that we learn from the mistakes of our elders. This, I believe, was my salvation. Without the example of Zacnaphane, I too would have found no escape, not in life. In this course, I have chosen a better way than the life Zacnaphane knew. I think yes, though I find despair often enough sometimes to long for that other way. It would have been easier. Truth, though, is nothing in the face of self-falsehood, and principles are of no value if the idealist cannot live up to his own standards. This, then, is a better way. I live with many laments for my people, for myself, but mostly for that weapons master, lost to me now, who showed me how and why to use a blade. There is no pain greater than this, not the cut of a jagged-edged dagger, nor the fire of a dragon's breath. Nothing burns in your heart like the emptiness of losing something, someone, before you truly have learned of its value. Often now I lift my cup in a futile toast, an apology to ears that cannot hear. To Zack, the one who inspired my courage. Drizzt Dewerton.
24. To Know Our Enemies.
8 drow dead, and 1 a cleric, Breeza said to Matron Malice on the balcony of House Dewerton. Breeza had rushed back to the compound with the first reports of the encounter, leaving her sisters at the central plaza of Menzo Berenzon with the gathered throng awaiting further information. But nearly 20 of the gnomes died, a clear victory. What of your brothers? Asked Malice. How did House Dewerton fare in this encounter? As with the surface elves, Deenan's hand slew 5, replied Breeza. They say that he led the main assault fearlessly, and he killed the most gnomes.
Matron Malice beamed with the news, though she suspected that Breeza, standing patiently behind a smug smile, was holding something dramatic back from her.
What of Drizzt? The matron demanded,
having no patience for her daughter's games.
How many Zwerf Nebli fell at his feet? None, Breeza replied, but still the smile remained. Still the day belonged to Drizzt, she added quickly, seeing an angry scowl spreading across her volatile mother's face.
Malus did not seem amused.
"Drizzt defeated an Earth Elemental," Breeza cried. "All alone, almost, with only minor help from a wizard. The High Priestess of the Patrol named the kill his."
Matron Malus gasped and turned away. Drizzt had ever been an enigma to her, as fine with the blade as any, but lacking the proper attitude and the proper respect. Now this, an Earth Elemental. Malus herself had seen such a monster ravage an entire drow raiding party, killing a dozen seasoned warriors before wandering off on its way. Yet her son, her confusing son, had defeated one single-handedly.
"Love will favor us this day," Breeza commented,
not quite understanding her mother's reaction. Breeza's words struck an idea in Malus.
"Gather your sisters," she commanded. "We shall meet in the chapel. If House Doerden so fully won the day out in the tunnels, perhaps the Spider Queen will grace us with some information. Vierna and Maya await the forthcoming news in the city plaza," Breeza explained,
mistakenly believing her mother to be referring to information about the battle.
"Surely we will know the entire story within an hour." "I care nothing for a battle against gnomes," Malus scolded. "You have told everything that is important to our family. The rest does not matter. We must parlay your brother's heroics into gain." "To learn of our enemies," Breeza blurted,
as she realized what her mother had in mind.
"Exactly," replied Malus. "To learn which house it is that threatens House Doerden. If the Spider Queen truly finds favor with us this day, she may grace us with the knowledge we need to defeat our enemies."
A short while later, the four high priestesses of House Doerden gathered around the spider idol in the chapel anteroom. Before them, in a bowl of the deepest onyx, burned the sacred incense, sweet, death-like, and favored by the Yochlal, the handmaidens of Lolth. The flame moved through a variety of colors, from orange to green to brilliant red. It then took shape, heard the beckons of the four priestesses and the urgency in the voice of Matron Malus. The top of the fire, no longer dancing, smoothed and rounded, assumed the form of a hairless head, then stretched upward, growing. The flame disappeared, consumed by the Yochlal's image, a half-melted pile of wax with grotesquely elongated eyes and a drooping mouth.
"Who has summoned me?"
the small figure demanded telepathically. The Yochlal's thoughts, too powerful for its diminutive stature, boomed within the heads of the gathered drow.
"I have, handmaiden,"
Malus replied aloud, wanting her daughters to hear. The matron bowed her head.
"I am Malus, loyal servant of the Spider Queen."
In a puff of smoke, the Yochlal disappeared, leaving only glowing incense embers in the onyx bowl. A moment later, the handmaiden reappeared, full size, standing behind Matron Malus. Breeza, Vierna, and Maya held their breath as the being laid two sickly tentacles on their mother's shoulders. Matron Malus accepted the tentacles without reply, confident in her cause for summoning the Yochlal.
"Explain to me why you dared to disturb me," came the Yochlal's insidious thoughts.
"To ask a simple question,"
Malus replied silently, for no words were necessary to communicate with a handmaiden.
"One whose answer you know."
"Does this question interest you so greatly?" the Yochlal asked. "You risk such dire consequences."
"It is imperative that I learn the answer," replied Matron Malus.
Her three daughters watched curiously, hearing the Yochlal's thoughts, but only guessing at their mother's unspoken replies.
"If the answer is so important, and it is known to the handmaidens and thus to the Spider Queen, do you not believe that Lolth would have given it to you if she so chose?"
"Perhaps, before this day, the Spider Queen did not deem me worthy to know,"
Malus responded.
"Things have changed."
The handmaiden paused and rolled its elongated eyes back into its head as if communicating with some distant plane.
"Greetings, Matron Malus Doerden,"
the Yochlal said aloud after a few tense moments. The creature's spoken voice was calm and overly smooth for the thing's grotesque appearance.
"My greetings to you, and to your mistress, Queen of Spiders," replied Malice.
She shot a wry smile at her daughters and still didn't turn to face the creature behind her. Apparently, Malice's guess of Loth's favor had been correct.
"Dermon Enashesbernon has pleased Loth," the handmaiden said. "The males of your house have won the day, even above the females that journeyed with them. I must accept Matron Malistowerden's summons."
The tentacles slid off Malice's shoulders, and the Yokel stood rigid behind her, awaiting her commands.
"Glad I am to please the Spider Queen," Malice began.
She sought the proper way to phrase her question.
"For the summons, as I have said, I beg only the answer to a simple question."
"Ask it,"
prompted the Yokel, and the mocking tone told Malice and her daughters that the monster already knew the question.
"My house is threatened, say the rumors," said Malice.
"Rumors?"
The Yokel laughed an evil, grating sound.
"I trust in my sources," Malice replied defensively. "I would not have called upon you if I did not believe the threat."
"Continue,"
said the Yokel, amused by the whole affair.
"They are more than rumors, Matron Malistowerden. Another house plans war upon you."
Maya's immature gasp brought scornful eyes upon her from her mother and her sisters.
"Name this house to me," Malice pleaded. "If Dermon Enashesbernon truly has pleased the Spider Queen this day, then I bid Loth to reveal our enemies that we might destroy them."
"Then if this other house also has pleased the Spider Queen?"
the handmaiden mused.
"Would Loth then betray it to you?"
"Our enemies hold every advantage," Malice protested. "They know of House Towerden. No doubt they watch us every day laying their plans. We ask Loth only to give us knowledge equal to that of our enemies. Reveal them, and let us prove which house is more worthy of victory."
"What if your enemies are greater than you?" asked the handmaiden. "Would Matron Malistowerden then call upon Loth to intervene and save her pitiful house?"
"No," cried Malice. "We would call upon those powers that Loth has given us to fight our foes. Even if our enemies are the more powerful, let Loth be assured that they will suffer great pain for their attack on House Towerden."
Again, the handmaiden sank back within herself, finding the link to its home plane, a place darker than Menzo Baranzon. Malice clenched tightly to Breeze's hand, to her right, and Vierna's to her left. They in turn passed along the confirmation of their bond to Maya at the foot of the circle.
"The Spider Queen is pleased, Matron Malistowerden,"
the handmaiden said at length.
"Trust that she will favor House Towerden more than your enemies when battle rings out. Perhaps."
Malice flinched at the ambiguity of that final word, grudgingly accepting that Loth never made any promises at any time.
"What of my question?" Malice dared to protest. "The reason for the summons?"
There came a bright flash that stole the four clerics' vision. When their eyesight returned to them, they saw the Yokel, tiny again, and glaring out at them from the flames of the onyx bowl.
"The Spider Queen does not give an answer that is already known,"
the handmaiden proclaimed, the sheer power of its otherworldly voice cutting into the drow ears. The fire erupted in another blinding flash, and the Yokel disappeared, leaving the precious bowl sundered into a dozen pieces. Matron Malice grabbed a large piece of the shattered onyx and threw it against a wall.
"Already known?" she cried in rage. "Known to whom? Who in my family keeps this secret from me?"
"Perhaps the one who does not know that she knows,"
Breeza put in, trying to calm her mother.
"Or perhaps the information is newly found, and she has yet had the chance to come to you with it."
"She?"
growled Matron Malice.
"What she do you speak of, Breeza? We are all here. Are any of my daughters stupid enough to miss such an obvious threat to our family?"
No, matron, Vierna and Maya cried together, terrified of Malice's growing wrath, rising beyond control. Never have I seen any sign, said Vierna. Nor I, added Maya. By your side I have been these many 10 days, and I have seen no more than you.
Are you implying that I have missed something?
Malice growled, her knuckles white at her sides.
No, matron,
Breeza shouted above the commotion, loud enough to settle her mother for the moment and turn Malice's attention fully upon her eldest daughter.
Not she, then, Breeza reasoned. He. One of your sons may have the answer, or Zachnophane, or Risen, perhaps.
Yes, agreed Vierna. They are only males, too stupid to understand the importance of minor details.
Drizzt and Deenan have been out of the house, added Breeza, out of the city. In their patrol group are children of every powerful house, every house that would dare to threaten us.
The fires in Malice's eyes glowed, but she relaxed at the reasoning.
Bring them to me when they return to Menzo Baranzon, she instructed Vierna and Maya. You, she said to Breeza. Bring Risen and Zachnophane. All the family must be present, so that we may learn what we may learn.
The cousins and the soldiers, too? Asked Breeza.
Perhaps one beyond the immediate family knows the answer.
Should we bring them together as well? Offered Vierna, her voice edged with the rising excitement of the moment. A gathering of the whole clan, a general war party of House Dewerden?
No, Malice replied, not the soldiers or the cousins. I do not believe they are involved in this. The handmaiden would have told us the answer if one of my direct family did not know it. It is my embarrassment to ask a question whose answer should be known to me, whose answer someone within the circle of my family knows.
She gritted her teeth as she spat out the rest of her thoughts.
I do not enjoy being embarrassed.
Drizzt and Deenan came into the house a short while later, exhausted and glad the adventure was over. They had barely passed the entrance and turned down the wide corridor that led to their rooms when they bumped into Zachnophane coming the other way.
So the hero has returned, Zach remarked, eyeing Drizzt directly.
Drizzt did not miss the sarcasm in his voice.
We've completed our job, successfully, Deenan shot back,
more than a little perturbed at being excluded from Zach's greeting.
I know of the battle, Zach assured him. It has been endlessly recounted throughout the city. Now leave us, elder boy. I have unfinished business with your brother. I leave when I choose to leave, Deenan growled.
Zach snapped a glare upon him. I wish to speak to Drizzt, only to Drizzt, so leave. Deenan's hand went to his sword hilt. Not a smart move. Before he even moved the weapon hilt an inch from the scabbard, Zach had slapped him twice in the face with one hand. The other had somehow produced a dagger and put its tip at Deenan's throat. Drizzt watched in amazement, certain that Zach would kill Deenan if this continued.
Leave, Zach said again. On your life.
Deenan threw his hands up and slowly backed away.
Matron Malice will hear of this, he warned. I will tell her myself, Zach laughed at him. Do you think she will trouble herself on your behalf, fool? As far as Matron Malice cares, the family males determine their own hierarchy. Go away, elder boy. Come back when you have found the courage to challenge me. Come with me, brother, Deenan said to Drizzt. We have business, Zach reminded Drizzt.
Drizzt looked to both of them, once and back again, stunned by their open willingness to kill each other.
I will stay, he decided. I do indeed have unfinished business with the weapons master. As you choose, hero, Deenan spat,
and he turned on his heel and stormed away.
You have made an enemy, Drizzt remarked to Zach. I have made many, Zach laughed. And I will make many more before my day ends. But no mind. Your actions have inspired jealousy in your brother, your older brother. You are the one who should be wary.
He hates you openly, reasoned Drizzt.
But would gain nothing from my death, Zach replied. I am no threat to Deenan, but you.
He let the word hang in the air.
Why would I threaten him? Drizzt protested. Deenan has nothing I desire.
He has power, Zack explained. He is the elder boy now, but was not always. He killed Nalthane, the brother I never met. You know of this? Said Zack. Perhaps Deenan suspects that another second boy will follow the same course he took to become the elder boy of House Dowerden. Enough, Drizzt growled, tired of the whole stupid system of ascension. How well you know it, Zack Nefane, he thought. How many did you murder to attain your position? An earth elemental, Zack said, blowing a low whistle with the words. It is a powerful foe that you defeated this day. He bowed low, showing Drizzt mockery beyond any doubt. What is next for the young hero? A demon, perhaps? A demigod? Surely there is nothing that can— Never have I heard such senseless words stream from your mouth, Drizzt retorted. Now it was time for some sarcasm of his own. Is it that I have inspired jealousy in another besides my brother? Jealousy, Zack cried. Wipe your nose, sniveling little boy. A dozen earth elementals have fallen to my blade. Demons, too. Do not overestimate your deeds or your abilities. You are one warrior among a race of warriors. To forget that surely will prove fatal. He ended the line with pointed emphasis, almost in a sneer, and Drizzt began to consider again just how real their appointed practice in the gym would become. I know my abilities, Drizzt replied, and my limitations. I have learned to survive. As have I, Zack shot back, for so many centuries. The gym awaits, Drizzt said calmly. Your mother awaits, Zack corrected. She bids us all to the chapel. Fear not, though. There will be time for our meeting. Drizzt walked past Zack without another word, suspecting that his and Zack's blades would finish the conversation for them. What had become of Zack Nefane? Drizzt wondered. Was this the same teacher who had trained him those years before the academy? Drizzt could not sort through his feelings. Was he seeing Zack differently because of the things he had learned of Zack's exploits? Or was there truly something different, something harder, about the weapons master's demeanor since Drizzt had returned from the academy? The sound of a whip brought Drizzt from his contemplations. I am your patron, he heard Risen say. That's of no consequence, retorted a female voice, the voice of Breeza. Drizzt slipped to the corner of the next intersection and peeked around. Breeza and Risen faced off, Risen unarmed, but Breeza holding her snake-headed whip. Patron, Breeza laughed. A meaningless title. You are a male lending your seed to the matron, and of no more importance. Four I have sired, Risen said indignantly. Three, Breeza corrected, snapping the whip to accentuate the point. Vierne is Zack Nefane's, not yours. Nalthane is dead, leaving only two. One of those is female and above you. Only Deenan is truly under your rank. Drizzt sank back against the wall and looked behind him to the empty corridor he had just walked. He had always suspected that Risen was not his true father. The male had never paid him any mind, but never scolded him or praised him or offered to him any advice or training. To hear Breeza say it, though, and Risen not deny it. Risen fumbled about for some retort to Breeza's stinging words. Does Matron Malice know of your desires? He snarled. Does she know that her eldest daughter seeks her title? Every eldest daughter seeks the title of Matron Mother, Breeza laughed at him. Matron Malice would be a fool to suspect otherwise. I assure you that she is not, nor am I. I will get the title from her when she is weak with age. She knows and accepts this as fact. You admit that you will kill her? If not I, then Vierna. If not Vierna, then Maya. It is our way, stupid male. It is the word of love. Rage burned in Drizzt as he heard the evil proclamations, but he remained silent at the corner. Breeza will not wait for age to steal her mother's power, Risen snarled. Not when a dagger will expedite the transfer. Breeza hungers for the throne of the house. Risen's next words came out as an indecipherable scream as the six-headed whip went to work again and again. Drizzt wanted to intervene, to rush out and cut them both down, but of course he could not. Breeza acted now as she had been taught, followed the words of the Spider Queen in asserting her dominance over Risen. She wouldn't kill him, Driz knew. But what if Breeza got carried away in the frenzy? What if she did kill Risen? In the empty void that was beginning to grow in his heart, Driz wondered if he even cared.
"You let him escape!"
Matron Sinafe roared at her son. "You will learn not to disappoint me!"
"No, my matron," Massage protested. "I hit him squarely with a lightning bolt. He never even suspected the blow to be aimed at him. I could not finish the deed. The monster had me caught in the gate to its own plane."
Sinafe bit her lip, forced to accept her son's reasoning. She knew that she had given Massage a difficult mission. Driz was a powerful foe, and to kill him without leaving an obvious trail would not be easy.
"I will get him,"
Massage promised, determination showing on his face.
"I have the weapon readied. Drizzt will be dead before the 10th cycle as you commanded."
"Why should I grant you another chance?"
Sinafe asked him.
"Why should I believe that you will fare better the next time you try?"
"Because I want him dead," Massage cried. "More than even you, my matron. I want to tear the life from Drizzt O'Erden. When he is dead, I want to rip out his heart and display it as a trophy."
Sinafe could not deny her son's obsession.
"Granted," she said.
"Get him, Massage Hunnet.
On your life, strike the first blow against House O'Erden and kill its second boy."
Massage bowed, the grimace never leaving his face, and swept out of the room.
"You heard everything,"
Sinafe signaled when the door had closed behind her son. She knew that Massage might well have his ear to the door, and she did not want him to know of this conversation.
"I did,"
Alton replied in the silent code, stepping out from behind a curtain.
"Do you concur with my decision?"
Sinafe's hands asked. Alton was at a loss. He had no choice but to abide by his matron mother's decisions, but he did not think that Sinafe had been wise in sending Massage back out after Drizzt. His silence grew long.
"You do not approve," Matron Sinafe bluntly motioned.
"Please, matron mother," Alton replied quickly. "I would not—"
"You are forgiven," Sinafe assured him. "I am not so certain that I should have allowed Massage a second opportunity. Too much could go wrong."
"Then why?"
Alton dared to ask.
"You did not grant me a second chance, though I desired Drizzt O'Erden's death as fiercely as any."
Sinafe cast him a scornful glare, sending him back on his courageous heels.
"You doubt my judgment?"
"No!"
Alton cried aloud. He slipped a hand over his mouth and dropped to his knees in terror.
"Never, my matron," he signaled silently. "I just do not understand the problem as clearly as you. Forgive me my ignorance."
Sinafe's laughter sounded like the hiss of 100 angry snakes.
"We see together in this matter," she assured Alton. "I would no more give Massage a second chance than I gave you."
"But—"
Alton started to protest.
"Massage will go back after Drizzt, but this time he will not be alone,"
Sinafe explained.
"You will follow him, Alton de Vere. Keep him safe, and finish the deed on your life."
Alton beamed at the news that he would finally find some taste of vengeance. Sinafe's final threat didn't even concern him.
"Could it ever be any other way?"
his hands asked casually.
"Think,"
Malice growled, her face close, her breath hot on Drizzt's face.
"You know something."